blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 25, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, who shall come to thee and stand before thy face? Who shall abide a welcome guest within thy holy place? 1 through 4 of Psalter number 25. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, in which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, once again we appear in thy holy presence, in thy house of prayer, where we come before thee in a special way, when thou dost require it of us, but that thou sayest also that thou lovest the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob, and therefore wilt have thy people to gather together. Lord, we can read in thy word when thy servant Solomon may stand and may dedicate the house of the Lord. Then he also supplicated before thee and besought thee that thou wouldst hear from heaven thy dwelling place in all the needs and cares and concerns of thy people, that when they should cry unto thee from that place, that thou wouldst hear their cry, that thou wouldst answer them. And Lord, thou didst so bless that people, and that thou didst come with thy cloud and didst fill that house. Lord, it was well-pleasing in thy sight when thy people gathered together, even in all their iniquity and in all of their sin. So often they had departed from thee. But Lord, wilt thou look also upon us? We cannot bring before thee one good work or one good deed in thy holy sight, to say here now we have a ground to ask of thee a blessing. Lord, we have forfeited everything and continue to do so day by day and moment by moment. Therefore, we have also read it out of thy holy word, that in many things we offend all. That is now the life of each and every one of us. Therefore, we can only come in a way of beseeching thee that thou would show us mercy amidst well-deserved wrath. Lord, may thou so look upon us in this afternoon hour. Thou teachest us to come in the name of thy dear Son, because him thou wilt receive, and his work thou hast accepted, and thou hast shown it in his resurrection from the dead. And Lord, then it is in his name that we attempt to draw nigh to thee in this afternoon hour, to ask of thee, if thou wilt look upon us in and through him, oh, may it be each and every one of us, not one missing. Lord, that thou may instruct us in the necessity of that blood to be applied to the doorposts of our hearts, that we also may be passed over in the judgment when thou wilt instruct thy holy destroying angels to look for the blood. Lord, may thou remember us too, with our dear children upon whom the ends of this world are come. And when Satan goes about to destroy by ways of deception and deceit and falsehood,
by ways of enticement with all the pleasures that are in this world. Lord, and what can keep us, and what can keep our dear children? The temptations are too great for us, and our hearts, they are so privy to all that evil. And that we need to be kept by Thee, we need to be preserved by Thee, and we need to be forgiven by Thee. Oh, may Thou wash us then, and may Thou cleanse us. In that precious all-atoning blood of Thy dear Son, that it may indeed become necessary for us, but that it also may become suitable for our soul in a personal way, and that we may be given courage, that we may be given a little comfort when we may see that it is not for the righteous that Thou didst come, but that Thou didst come for the ungodly. Lord, then it will give courage to pray still unto Thee. And though we cannot pay our own price, our own debt, may Thou remember each and every one of us, that we may come to the acknowledgement of our sin, and that we may come to beseech of Thee, that Thou may show mercy amidst the well-deserved wrath, and that that blessed and precious Mediator may become so precious in our eyes also. Lord, look then upon Thy whole church over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Thou art God, and Thou hast called each one of them by their own name, and Thou hast given unto them a new name. Lord, may Thou remember them in the places where that they are driven, even into the very ends of the world, and even in places where they are persecuted for the sake of Thy great name. Lord, strengthen and encourage such ones that are still in this world. And wilt Thou give them to remain steadfast in the profession of Thy name, not alone in an outward way, but may it be in truth within their hearts. And that Thou may give that Thy truly sent servants over the length and breadth of this world may be given courage and strength to go forward in the labors that Thou didst send them, though that they have no ability in their own strength. Lord, could it please Thee also to send more laborers into Thy vineyard? May it be also in and amongst our own denomination in the months that lie before us, when the curatorium will meet again. Lord, we beseech Thee that there may yet be men who are truly converted and thrust forth by Thee, that are not able anymore to turn away from Thy commandment, and that they may be brought up even to the curatorium. Lord, that Thou would do wonders when a man is so utterly helpless and unworthy. But wilt Thou take reasons out of Thyself, and wilt Thou preserve Thy truth in the midst of us as a denomination, that it may not fall away, but that our dear children may continue to hear that free and sovereign grace for the most wretched and polluted ones in this world. Lord, then Thy name will continue to receive the honor from such ones. Lord, wilt Thou look upon all those that rule and reign over us in this world? Thou dost command us to lay them before Thee. And we know not how to do so, but Lord, it is Thy own word. May Thou then hear us also from heaven, Thy dwelling place, and cause us to turn again unto thy law and to thy testimonies. Wilt thou keep away all those that will attempt to do evil within our nation, that thou may turn it away, and that thou may bring thy word and law in the foreground once again. Be with all those that fight in the warfares in this world. Oh, that thou may keep watch over and protect each one. Lord, may it be on every side, because every man has a soul, and he travels to a never-ending eternity. And when men are deceived in this world to serve gods that are not thee, oh, that thou may turn them again, and may thou open the eyes of many in the last days. Wilt thou look upon our school, the teachers, the principals, and the school board, and all those that labor from day to day in that place? Bless, Lord. Bless those labors for the sake of our children, and also even for the sake of our instructors, and that there thy presence may dwell, and that thy spirit may work to the upbuilding of thy kingdom. Lord, wilt thou go before us as a consistory also, when we hope to meet in this week, may thou remember us in all of our needs, and bless our efforts to the welfare of this, our flock. Help us in this afternoon hour, when we are called to bring instruction again out of thy holy law. Lord, that is not our law. It is not the law of a man, but it is the law of thee. O may thou, who sayest that that law is the schoolmaster unto Christ, may thou give that it may be so even in this afternoon. Lord, then it is necessary that the arrow of thy spirit may strike our hearts, and that indeed we may become the guilty one who offends in all things, and that we may see a need, that we may be forgiven, that we may be cleansed and washed in the precious blood of thy Son. Oh, so glorify thyself. Forgive and keep us from all sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 271, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Of mercy and of justice, my thankful song shall be. O Lord, in joyful praises, my song shall rise to thee. Within my house I purpose to walk in wisdom's way. O Lord, I need thy presence. How long wilt thou delay? The last collection today is for the school. We announce also that the consistory meeting for this week has been changed from Tuesday night to Monday night. Psalter 271, all stanzas. Thank you.
Congregation, where was the first lie told in this world that was already in a paradise? There the devil has begun not with an outright lie, but there he has begun twisting the truth. There he has asked of our first parents whether they indeed may not eat of the trees of the garden. From there, the devil has continued. Instead of only twisting the truth, that he began to speak outright lies. That he says, ye shall not surely die. And so it goes, boys and girls. Maybe we know that in our own life. And that it goes from one lie unto another. Indeed, the devil now, since the fall, has accomplices. The devil is no longer the only one and that is full of lies, but are also our own hearts. They are full of the lie. And then especially when the Lord Jesus says that by nature, that liar from the beginning, that he is our Father. Therefore, it is necessary that the Lord commands us that we shall not bear false witness against our neighbor. And this we wish to consider together, the ninth commandment out of Lord's Day 43, and this afternoon with the Lord's help. Lord's Day 43, question 112. What is required in the ninth commandment? Answer, that I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter, nor slanderer, that I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit, as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth. Speak it uprightly and confess it, also that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. So far, our Lord's Day. Bearing false witness, first in the courts, second in daily life. Bearing false witness in the courts and in daily life. What is, congregation, a witness? A witness is one who bears a testimony of the facts. That is, that he speaks about those things that he has actually seen, or those things that he has heard, or that he has experienced even himself. Thus, witness is necessary in a court, because witness that is solidifying the evidence, that is helping to establish the truth. There is nothing actually more contradictory than the term false witness. Those two things are actually a very contradiction in terms, because a witness has to do with truth. A witness has to do with what is reality, what has been seen, what is real. and what is real that is not false. Thus, a false witness that is in itself a contradiction. What does it mean, congregation, to lie? That means that our words, they are not the same as we know things are actually in reality in this world. Then it is our intention, it is our motive, and that we will deceive. There are also some untruths and that are told in this world concerning reality itself that are not intended to be untruths. They are not necessarily spoken out of a evil motive, only that a person does not know what the truth is, and that he is speaking when he does not realize that it is a falsehood. Thus, we also must be careful that we find out, that we search out truth before that we are speaking with our mouth. We read of David, he is asking the Lord to remove from me the way of lying. The way of lying, that is the habit of lying. That lying should dwell within my heart, or that way of lying so that I am falling into that temptation that can be so strong that I will tell an untruth. Paul says the Cretans are always liars. Is that so of you two boys and girls? That we are always lying. There are persons in this world that are getting so used to lying, telling one untruth after the other, that their conscience that is hardly speaking to them anymore. We read that when Amnon was slain, and that the tidings they came to his father, that Absalom had slain all the king's sons. That was not true, but it has caused David very much grief. And thus to know the truth and to speak the truth. Some lies, actually, we can read in the Bible, and they have been told with a good purpose, actually with a good intention. When we think about Rahab, when we think about the midwives in the land of Egypt, and then their end, their purpose, their goal, and that was actually good. Both of these, we can read in the Word of God, were commended by the Lord for their faith and for the fear of the Lord which lay in their hearts. And yet their lies, they remain lies. We read in the Bible, "Shall we do evil that good may come?" Job also asked, "Will ye speak deceitfully for the Lord?" We do not need to speak deceitfully for the Lord. When the lie comes out of hell, then the Lord does not need what is out of hell for the protection of his people, and that is not for the glory of his name. Sometimes we also, congregation, do this in sport, in jesting, in a way of trickery, in order to make others laugh. That is very common. And actually, we think often so little about it. But when we will really think it through, then it really cannot be a lawful sport. If we are forbidden to lie to save our life, how is it that we may lie in order to jest, in order to make others laugh? then we accustom ourselves to lying, and also our children, and they think the lie to be a very light matter. But in our text, then we in our Lord's day, then we read especially about malicious lies, lies that are intended to deceive, intended to hurt our neighbor, called by the Lord in the ninth commandment, false witness. What was that witness that was so false that Ziba has made concerning Mephibosheth? And we can read how that he has brought such an evil name upon his neighbor, and he has made even that great King David to believe it. False witness. He is especially evil because he is overthrowing all righteousness. So that was in the case of Naboth, where it was lies that brought that man to death. So we see there had to be purposely lies and deceit brought in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and that so he was put to death in such a way. The enemy that is always waiting for his opportunity against the true church of God. We can read about Daniel, that the enemy was watching Daniel every day. And when that enemy was not able to find what they may justly bring against this servant of the Lord, then they will bring against him unjustly. In the court, then a witness, we said, is an especially needful thing. And that is why that in a court, a false witness is an especially abominable thing. And why is it? Because in a court is where we swear before God that we are going to tell the truth. When we do this, and we have heard it when we spoke about the oath, when we do this, and then we are asking the Lord that if we should lie, that it shall be known to him, and we ask him to bring a judgment upon ourselves for our lie. It shows how far that our world has come when man can stand and place his hand up in before the omniscient God with an intention in his heart still to bring falsehood within the court. But it is not only those that are brought into the court, but it is possible even from the side of the judge. Because a judge, he is called by the Lord to do justice and judgment. And then it is possible, and that is not only for the judges that are standing in the courts of our land, but we also sometimes as a consistory, we also sometimes as teachers in our school, we also as parents are brought into that same capacity often as a judge. And then when we stand in that way of judgment, then it is evil, it is sin when we are not hearing out the case of those that come before us.
or that we judge those that are before us in a very rash way. When we are to judge righteously, and when we are expected by those that are being afflicted by their neighbor, and when we then judge in an unrighteous manner, we then will have to give account of our judgment before an all-knowing God. Job, we read, was a perfect and an upright man. He feared God and he eschewed evil. We read that he was a father unto the poor, and that case that he did not know, he says that he searched out. Thus, he did not judge rashly, but that he took the time to hear that case and to listen to the evidence from every side. It is possible as a judge that we are also making greater the sin that has been transgressed, and that we are punishing that sin with a punishment that is not fit for that crime. But we, as it were, make that crime much greater than it is. We sin as a witness in a court. We sin, boys and girls, when we come and when we say and when we are asked by father and mother, what did you see? What did you hear? And when we say different than we know, because we want this person or we want that person not to receive as great a punishment. But then your teacher, your father, he is asking after the truth. And when we are answering, then we answer not only him, but we are answering before the Lord himself. When we think about the judges in our land and the lawyers that are standing in the defense of cases, then how many cases in this world are put forward which are unrighteous? Every unrighteous cause, today it seems that there is a man who will stand for that unrighteous cause. When such standing for such causes would be brought itself into the courts and rightly judged, then how much evil would be put away from the courts in our land? We sin by not defending those who are in the right. We sin by not defending them with all our might and with all our power and with everything that we know. Because how many people in this world are punished unrighteously? How many people in this world are sinning in the prisons in an unrighteous way? An accuser sins by bringing in a false accusation, by exaggerating the wickedness of those who have sinned. A defendant sins by minimizing his crime, by denying his crime. Soon, every one of us will be standing before a judge who knows everything. And then every righteous cause that is going to be tried and it is going to be sentenced righteously. We can hide nothing from him, also from our life. That is our second thought. Nor falsify any man's words,
that I be no backbiter. What is that, a backbiter? That means to bite behind the back. Thus the Bible speaks about talebearers. And we read about those whose words are as wounds. And then our words, and we read it together from James, how sharp and how evil that our tongue is. Then our very words, they are able to wound one another so deeply. Solomon says, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. But we are not only guilty when we make up tales and rumors, but we are also guilty when we will give our ear to tales and to rumors. And then how much rumor and gossip will come to an end when only we will cease to listen. It is a wicked doer, Solomon says, who giveth heed to false lips, and a liar, he says, giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Backbiting. We all know of those of whom David complained. He said, their words are smoother than butter, but war is in their heart. That their words, they are softer than oil, but those words are actually drawn swords. Thus, of what does he speak? And thus, he speaks about nice words in our face. Nice words to our ears, but it is actually a drawn sword, so that when our back is turned, that we are being stabbed with such words. Sometimes this is being done completely without cause, as we read in of Ziba. Then it was nothing that Mephibosheth has done, but it was only the evil that lay in Ziba's heart that he desired all for himself. Sometimes this is being done when confession of guilt has already been made, and when sins are being brought forward again that ought never to be brought forward. Even as the case was with Shimei, as he is cursing God's servant. That I be no backbiter, nor slanderer out of envy, to exalt myself upon the ruins of my neighbor, to slander his name. And then it is one thing to spread falsehood because we love gossip. And there is another thing to spread falsehood out of a desire for revenge against my neighbor. To purposely cast reproach against my neighbor that does not belong to him. Absalom sitting in the gate and saying to all the people, oh, that I were made judge in the land. Then you are going to receive justice. Then you are going to receive a judgment. Ahab turns the fault away from himself, and he calls Elijah the troubler of Israel. In Thessalonica, the Jews, they are moved with envy against the servants of the Lord. And because they are moved with this envy, we can read how that they are drawing Jason and others to the ruler of the city. And they are accusing them of turning the whole world, they say, upside down. Nor slanderer, it is very easy for us. actually because we are cowards. It is so easy for us to tell the faults of our neighbor unto one another. But it is very difficult for us to bring these faults of our neighbor unto themselves. But is not this our duty? As we read in Matthew 18 that we are to go and to tell our neighbor his fault between us and him alone. How? Not out of condemnation, but we read out of love to our neighbor. Moses, he writes in the law of the Lord, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy brother. Thus thou shalt not hate him, but thou shalt rebuke him, he says, and not suffer sin upon him, not allow him to go on in his way. We must say that when it is our own children, when it is our own brother and our own sister, so we deal. Why? Because there is love. And there we are ready to be honest and to say with one another, and that you ought not to go in such and such a way. But does that love also show among us as a congregation? Does actually that love also show to our neighbor who is walking in the street? We know how difficult that this is, because you and I are not so ready to receive a rebuke from one another. Congregation, when would we be ready in true humility to receive such rebukes from one another, then it would also be easier for us to speak so honestly to one another in love. Then we must ask the Lord to humble us before God and before man. That I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard. So rash judgment. Where does rash judgment begin? Rash judgment begins in my heart. Rash judgment that begins in the suspecting of my neighbor without a cause. Paul calls it an evil surmising. And then it is especially when there is jealousy that is living in our heart and envy of my neighbor that I am especially prone to suspect the motives of my neighbor. We know we also have to be careful because then we are not able, because of sin, to trust our neighbor in everything. Just as you and I are not to be trusted, so our neighbor often is not to be trusted. We read of Gedaliah that he was slain. Why? Because he trusted Ishmael. But it was said of him that he was an evil man. But he has trusted Ishmael, and that trust was to his own hurt. That I do not judge or join in condemning any man rashly or unheard. Thus, judging too hastily. Thus, when we do not let all of the evidence pass through our mind, we read of Job's three friends. He says, they say, that which the Lord has brought on you, that is now the evidence that you are a wicked man. It was not so. Potiphar would not hear out Joseph. And therefore, Joseph is innocently cast into prison. Mephibosheth tries to bring his case to David. But David thought it so plausible, everything that Ziba had said, that he does not want to hear it. And then it is also the sin of David that later on that he does not correct that judgment, that false judgment actually that he had made. Judging rashly, how quick that we are judging rashly. Eli, he saw the lips of Hannah moving. And then there is in his heart that he is suspecting her of being drunken, but she is a poor child of the Lord. It is possible we judge too lightly, too few evidences, too feeble evidences. So the barbarians, they say that Paul, he is an evil man. And Ahasuerus, he receives all the accusations of that wicked Haman against the Jews. But where were his evidences? Congregation, what kind of evil lies in our heart against our neighbor? That I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard. Let us sing Psalter 89. Stanzas 1 through 5. Ye children, come, give ear to me, and learn Jehovah's fear. He who would long and happy live, let him my counsel hear. 1 through 5 of Psalter 89. but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God, lies and deceit. Then our fathers are not speaking about warfare. It is possible in warfare that we are attempting to deceive the enemy. We read that even the Lord himself has commanded this of Joshua. And when they went to fight against Ai, then they were to approach the city and they were to run away again. Just as if that they were afraid again of these men of Ai, and so they would draw them out of the city. No, then the enemy has no right to the knowledge of everything. But he speaks here about all sorts of lies and deceit whereby we attempt to deceive our neighbor, even as Gehazi, who has lied in order that he may receive all the gifts of this world. Ananias and Sapphira, they are lying. Why? In order that they may receive the honor from men. Or do we sometimes then talk very ambiguously and so in general that that persons cannot understand really what we say, in order that we may come around, in order that we may work around the truth? That does not mean and that we need to say everything to everyone. We do not say everything, fathers and mothers, unto our children. And the consistory will not say everything to everyone in the congregation. Not everyone has a right to all information in this world. When Samuel must go to anoint David to be king, and then the Lord said to Samuel that he must say that he is going to sacrifice. That is the truth, and yet it was not the whole truth. And why not? Because Saul was an enemy of the Lord, and Saul had no right from the Lord to that information that the Lord would keep from him. We read of Jeremiah that he had only told part of that conversation that he had with the king. Solomon says, a fool uttereth all his mind. Thus, when others have no right to the information, then we may withhold information. But when they have a right to that information, such as a judge, then we sin in withholding that truth. Do we make promises, congregation, when we realize that we are not able to fulfill that promise? Maybe in a monetary way, a loan, or some other promise in this world? Do we speak to our company different because of the persons who are present? One time saying this and another time saying just the opposite because of those who are listening? Am I flattering my neighbor so that I may receive some good view in his eyes? Am I justifying, am I defending, am I excusing my neighbor without right? Do I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor? We must be concerned with our own honor and with our own good character when we say that in the right way. That is, we must uphold our own good name among men. And we may not give occasion for others to speak evil of us, especially when we carry upon our forehead the name of the triune God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. What did the Lord say, boys and girls? When David sinned so terribly against the Lord, and then God's servant came to him and said, "Thou hast given occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, that they may mock, because you are called by the name of the Lord, and you have sinned publicly against him." Thus, when we have his name on our forehead, and when we have his name upon our lips and in our confession, then our sin that is before the world, that is causing his name also to be dishonored. No, that does not mean that we are to boast of ourselves, because for a man to bring forth honor to his own name, Solomon says, that is no honor. No, but to truly walk in the ways of the Lord. But our fathers then speak here about the honor and the good character of our neighbor. Thus, love, we read, covers a multitude of sins. That is, love for my neighbor will hide his sins from everyone else, even as I desire to hide my own sins from my neighbor. Does not mean that we do not say to him what his sin is, but that we do not say to our neighbor what his sin is, but that we say it to him alone. That is different for public sins, because public sins, they are to be rebuked, we read, before all. It is possible, congregation, we even speak the truth. And in speaking the truth, that we come against it, but that we come against our neighbor, thus to speak the truth for a wrong end. And so Doeg, he brings the truth to Saul. And he says that the servant of the Lord, he has helped your enemy. But it was for a wrong purpose. It was out of the maliciousness that was lying in his heart. Congregation, what lies in our heart for the good name of our neighbor that should make us honest with him? But we must say that we are so dishonest. And what of our neighbor that he is walking upon the streets, and we see that he is walking in a way that is for his own soul's detriment, and we have no word of warning for our neighbor? And many will say, you may not judge, and that is true. The final judgment, that is with the Lord. But we certainly may judge one another's actions. We certainly may judge what we see in our lives and what we hear from our mouths. And so we may certainly warn one another. And then we shall all together soon appear before the judgment seat of him, where truth and justice, that is all going to come out into the foreground. the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard that in the weeks that are gone by, he stood in judgment in this world. And he had false witnesses against him. And he had an unrighteous judge. And we are going soon to stand in judgment. There will be a righteous judge who knows not only the lies that have been coming out of our mouth, but he knows also the lies which lay in our heart. And that is a judge who will not need any witnesses, because he is omniscient, and every accusation that comes from him, that is going to find a place in the conscience of each one of us. That our conscience is going to have to agree with every accusation that is brought against us from the Lord. We read, every mouth shall be stopped, and all the world shall be guilty before God. That is you, and that is me. That is what is coming. Did we ever meet our judge? Did we ever learn to die before that we have to die? Because if we meet our judge for the first time on that last and great judgment day, then it shall be for us awful. But when we may meet our judge here, when we may meet our judge in the time, then we shall become honest before God and before men. Because then we will receive an impression that the Lord sees the inmost recesses of our heart, and that not one stone shall be left unturned in the life of that church and congregation. Then do we have one to stand for us? Then we must stand before that judge. Have we a surety? Have we a mediator for our soul? He is, we read in the Word of God, the faithful and the true witness. And he is the one who is going to testify before his Father in that great judgment day on behalf of his people. He is the faithful and true witness. Will he pass over one sin? No. No, he will not pass over one sin, but he has paid that price for the sin of his church. And he has received the receipt out of the hand of his Father in his resurrection from the dead. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, it is written in your law that the testimony of two witnesses is true. He says, I am one that bear witness of myself, and my Father beareth witness of me. Thus he says, we have two witnesses, and that witness is true. And then do you hear that, people of the Lord? Then it is not witness of you. Because if he shall have to witness of you, then it can only be lost. But he says, I will bear witness of myself, and my Father shall bear witness of me. And that is now the way that the people shall be received into that blessed favor and communion with God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are even as our father, the devil by nature, who is the liar from the beginning, and how many lies do not lay in our hearts altogether. O Lord, forgive. Forgive all of our many sins, and do instruct us out of thy word. Bring thy law into our hearts with power, and that thy dear Son, oh, that he may become so precious to us, that we may be forgiven our lies and all the falsehood, and that we may be washed and cleansed therefrom, that we may walk in newness of life in this world, and that we may be received on behalf of him with thee in eternity. Lord, remember us. Go with us further in this evening. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Help us in bringing thy word in the sister congregation in this night. Remember us in our meetings this week, and each one of us in the place, in the callings of our life. May thy word be the thought and the meditation of our hearts. Remember those that will receive surgeries in this coming week. Lord, they are serious surgeries, and thou knowest the end from the beginning of all men. Oh, that thou may help and give a cry to thee, supply from above. Forgive all that was sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 160, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give ear unto my cry, and to my voice attend. And though far from home and from thy house, to thee my prayers ascend. 1 through 4 of Psalter 160.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.